welcome to today's soup break. I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. It's April 2nd, 2020. Nice to see you guys. Hey, BP9.
Greetings.
I see Solbu is going to be here, working on his grand entrance, and Peter's here.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Peter.
Are you hearing me this time?
I can hear you a little better because I'm not in my office. I'm up in the kitchen. Yesterday, I couldn't come up in the kitchen because with the whole thing going on, we've really stepped up our sanitization, like cleaning schedule. So the cleaners were here and they were working on the kitchen area at the time. So I wasn't allowed in there.
My refuge, John Milton. My refuge, Milton. I call it John Milton after the poet. My refuge, Milton. I call it John Milton.
Oh, yeah.
There's a joke in that.
Yeah. I figured out what Blue Box is. It's a WiMAX service. Very, very similar, as a matter of fact, to what we were using Studio D, because we had a Ubiquiti on the roof pointed at a tower using like a Wi-Fi Ubiquiti connector. I still have to get that from the studio, but I want to have a spotter there with me, because I got to get up on the roof of that big building in order to get down our tower. I didn't think that was a good idea to do by myself, but it's kind of hard with social distancing.
Very dangerous, very dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. And we finally got some blue skies and sunny skies, so that's at least nice, because with all the rain, I was definitely not going to get up on a tin roof. That's for sure. BP9?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what you've done to me, but I ordered a pine time.
Oh, good. Well done. Very nice. Good job.
This just sounds way too good to be true. And when I saw the price, I was just what?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was it? It was like $29. Yeah.
Hi guys. Hello. A bit late. One of my neighbors came and he needed some help, so I'll be back soon.
Okay, stay 6 feet apart. Bill, look at all these carbs.
Yummy.
Is that ramen?
Hey. Yes. Yeah, but I don't have chopsticks, so I had to break it up.
So you guys have any interesting things happen to you on April Fool's Day yesterday?
I canceled April Fool's Day, Bob.
Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't get the message.
Worldwide.
We didn't get the memo.
Oh, dear. What did Rosemary do to you?
Well, first of all, she replaced the soft, the hand soap and the pump bottles in the bathrooms with baby oil.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, dear.
So I thought, she didn't do every bathroom. So I went to a different bathroom to wash my hands again. And yeah, she did that bathroom too. And then every April Fool's Day, we have a April Fool's dinner. And everybody makes a different dish that looks like something, but is something else. And so Renata, my oldest daughter, made cinnamon rolls, but they weren't cinnamon rolls. They were barbecued pulled pork rolls.
Oh, sweet.
I actually want to try that.
It was actually really good, yeah. And then Marika, my youngest daughter, made horse dung, but they're actually brownies. I made coffee with cream, which was warmed up root beer in a coffee pot.
Oh, you're gross.
With melted vanilla ice cream.
Oh, man.
So basically a warm root beer float. It actually tasted all right.
I was hoping that would be Kahlua, Bo.
Hey, I've got underage daughters, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good point.
Well, that sounds fun. I'm glad you're having fun.
Yeah. So what have you guys been talking about today?
Well, I got a Pine Time because BP9 has been talking about this Pine Time and you've been talking about it. And I'm just like, okay, I need to get in on this action. So
I've made some progress too, which I'll describe when everybody gives their updates.
Oh, did you hear that the PinePhone UB Ports edition is available for pre-order now?
I did not, but I will definitely get whatever is available for sure.
Just today I saw that it's available. So
awesome.
So are you distributing those or do I have to order them from the Pine?
Yeah, we are going to be distributing them, but they're only in pre-order phase right now at the Pine Store. So we don't have any on the way yet.
do you happen to have any inkling as to when the Pine Time will be shipping? So BP9 and I have both ordered from the Pine Store. Have you seen any word on when the shipping date is? Because it really doesn't show you, eh? BP9, it's like,
no,
we got your money. We got your money. We'll send it someday.
Yep. Are you talking about the Pine Time developer kit or the finishing product?
Kit. Yeah, the kit.
I can find out.
Awesome.
See, Bo has insider access. He can find out all kinds of stuff that we don't know.
He's on the other line. Hey, TL. Is that even shipped out?
I'm actually chatting with him right now. So
I'm not surprised. Nice.
TL, the owner of Pine 64.
So Ron.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
I was just
trying not to be too long.
We don't need to argue about it.
Nope, not at all. So, Robbie, I made some progress on the Pine Time vector display that I was describing.
Yeah.
I threw a picture up on the screen a while ago, but you guys are still talking.
That.
But I can. Well, let me do it again. Let me just hide away all the super secret squirrel stuff that I'm not allowed to show, and then do that.
Bo types so loud on that mechanical keyboard that none of us can see you, BP9.
No, I'm not typing on the keyboard.
How do I turn it off? How do I turn off?
That's Bo.
There we go.
There's the vector display of the clock face. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this program is running on Linux, and I've already said before that I use GTK for my UI toolkit. So the thing is that this is not the version that is going to be running on the Pine Time watch.
Oh.
What this is. What I had to do was to figure out what the XY coordinates of each of those tick marks were going to be. And I don't know if you saw on the image, but the 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock tick marks were extra large. The 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and each of the 5-minute tick marks were slightly smaller. And then each of the individual minute marks were even smaller still. So I had to figure out, based on a 320 by 320 display, I had to say, okay, where do each of these tick marks begin and end? What are the XY coordinates for each of these tick marks from one end of the line to the other end of the line? And so I had to calculate that each time, which is what this program does.
That's cool.
But the end of it, the end result is that all I have to do is extract out the XY coordinates of each of those tick marks. All I have to do is extract out the XY coordinates of those tick marks and then put them in an array, and then the program on the Pine Time just draws what the array says to draw. So,
are you documenting this process, BP9?
I could be.
I just imagine
you'd like
that,
me to.
Well, other developers are probably going to have to go through the same steps, right?
Well, that depends on if they like to use vector implementation or if they like to use PNG, the image file in the background. So, yes, but that's not what I'm doing here.
I interrupt. Theta will be X and Y from the center. Use a V as the X and Y proportion, then you'll get where the ticks are. Because that draws a circle. If you plot cosine, sine theta, you get a circle.
Yeah, so I've already done that, Peter.
That's what this program is that BP9 is using. Right.
Yeah.
I can even make the program print out to a file the actual C code that would describe that array with the values pre-populated in it. Then I can literally just take that header file, include it in my regular project, we're done, right? And then it's just a question of displaying it.
On yesterday's coffee break, BP9, you had kind of let on that you were starting to lean toward the ping, and now you're working back on the vector. Is there a reason that you decided
I was thinking about
to understand it at least?
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night or yesterday afternoon when we talked after we talked about it. Yeah. I saw the description on the video. I did not want to give the impression that I felt like the PNG was the better approach. I'm still sticking with the vector approach. Yep. Someone else on the call asked me if I was going to do both, and I said, "Yeah, absolutely. If only just to understand how they work." That's the point. I want to be able to understand how they work. Whichever one I end up using ultimately is likely going to be the vector one, because I like the nice simple display. And I think I figured out now how I want to update the watch face each time the minute hand or the second hand ticks over. I think that what I can do is to erase the second hand at its current position, then redraw the entire watch face because it's very quick, because I can do that because it's all vector based, and then just draw the new second hand in the new position. And I think that will work quite well, because the CPU in that Pine Time runs quite fast. I want to say 600 meg, but I don't think that's right. I think it's probably 60 or something like that. But in any case, plenty fast.
Cortex M, right?
Yes.
It's a Cortex M processor, so can't see it being quite that fast.
And the thing is that the faster it runs, of course, the more heat it generates, the more power it uses. So you don't want it to run too fast. And while CPU is one part of it, the how fast you can update the display is another part of it. So we'll have to see how fast the display responds. I definitely do not want to clear the display between each update. What I want to do is, as I said, wherever the second hand is now, erase it. So all I have is just that line that has been wiped out.
Okay, I misunderstood.
Then redraw, then redraw the whole clock face, which will just restore that one line. But I don't have to worry about what have I damaged by drawing that or leaving that second hand in the old location. It should just restore those bits that were wiped out. Then draw the new second hand at that point. So,
okay.
It should be a very minimal effect on the display, I'm hoping.
I'd like to see the refresh rate of that and see if it looks like it flashes or if it's actually...
Exactly. And that's why I don't want to erase the display each time, because I know that's going to be very noticeable for sure.
Yeah.
But if all I do is wipe out the old, redraw, and that'll just refresh what was wiped out, then draw the new second hand, I think that'll be the most efficient approach.
If you do 150 of a second, your brain don't notice it. If you do 150 of a second, so if you do it sort of hundredth of a second, you won't notice that your brain didn't notice the change.
I just don't know what the refresh rate of the screen is, so I think it's fast enough. I obviously don't know. But I can certainly get the display, all the elements of the display in place, and then see what happens.
I can't wait.
What's the worst could happen, right?
I want to say hi real quick. So we've got Peter Lewis at the top right. We've got Solbu in the bottom left. This is like that old Hollywood Square show. We got Bill Marshall in the middle. We've got Ron Morissette on the right. We've got Bo from Ameridroid on the bottom left. We've got Peter in two places today. He's got two webcams. Top right and the bottom middle. And then we've got BP9 in the bottom right. Bo, did you have success finding out at like an ETA for us? Or?
Well, let's see. It hasn't responded yet. But the CPU in the Pine Time is a Cortex M4 at 64 megahertz.
Ah, 64 megahertz. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, 60. Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. Again, depends on how fast the display responds.
As I recall, I don't think the display responds terribly fast. So if that's the case, one thing you could do is you could keep one copy of the watch face in memory. And after you draw the watch hand, like the second hand, let's say, then to erase the second hand, you just pick the pixels that the watch hand contained from the original watch face without the watch hand on it and overdraw with that. That way it would replace all of your tick marks and everything, but just for the second hand part or the minute hand part or whichever part you're redrawing.
Right. Yeah. That's another approach. And I can certainly do that if the display turns out to be really, really slow, but I'm not sure yet how slow the display is, and I just want to try it that way first. And if I have to, then I'll be really selective, as you described, Bo, be very selective about which pixels I wipe out and restore as the second hand ticks around.
My second computer was 66 megahertz.
Yeah, I was thinking my old XT was a lot bigger form factor than what I'm going to have on my wrist.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
What was that, 8 megahertz?
Right.
Could you do a memory to memory flash over? Okay, one stored in memory, and then flash it over to copy over with a copy command, memory to memory, back onto the screen again. That would be very fast.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be.
Well, again, it all depends on how fast the display responds. You can have as many copies of the watch face in memory as you want. If it takes half a second to copy it from memory to the watch face, you know, to the display, it won't matter. It won't matter how many copies you've got.
So what we're saying is we're not going to be streaming YouTube on our smartwatch.
Oh, no. I doubt that. Yeah, this watch is very simple. And curiously enough, correct me if I'm wrong, Bo, but I don't think there's a real-time clock chip in the device. It looks like every piece that I found, it looks like you have to get the time from somewhere to initialize it, like a Bluetooth time server or something, and initialize it, and then it'll keep track of time after that. But I don't think it knows what time it is.
That seems to make sense, yeah. I noticed that even on, like, my Fitbit, it'll get out of sync if you restart the watch without the Bluetooth on.
It's just funny that it's called a Pine Time, but it doesn't have a real-time clock on it.
Fair enough. I guess they're depending on the fact they understand that we're going to be syncing it to our phones, right?
Well, yeah. Remember, though, that we're going to be syncing this to a Linux phone, the Pine phone. So we'd better make sure we understand how to publish such a service on a Linux machine. So that'll be one of my tasks as well. I'll have a go at that also.
Cool.
To run on the phone.
So. It's going to be a fun project.
Okay, geekery is over. You guys carry on now.
I enjoy the geekery.
Can I tell you that I bought that from Amazon? It's about £2. It's a voltmeter, but it's 0 to 99 volts, 12 volts at 13 milliamps. It's very cool. It's got that one in. It's quite nice. It makes a good project, voltmeter. It was very, very cheap, Amazon. Made in China, of course. I did think inspected by this as well. I put it in Milton, so probably it was on about 13 milliamps. And it runs
it's really cool. You know what I'd like to put that voltmeter in, Peter, would be like if I was creating a step-down controller, something like that, something that I could give 110 volts to and step it down to 5 or 20 volts to be able to actually see it on the display would be pretty
cool. Well, I've got a couple of 400 VA transformers to make a 0 to 30 volt pass by 20 amps, and I'm going to use that inside a computer case. At the moment, I can't cut the aluminium at the moment because I've got no bands all working properly. So I've been trying to get Jim to my colleague in Bellamy to put it on the doorstep and collect it, cut it for me, give it back to me. But I'm using that. It's two 400 VA transformers, 800 VA. It's got four transistors on it as the output regulator, 150 watts each in parallel. It puts a lot of oomph out. It weighs a ton. You get an hernia just picking it up.
Yeah.
So, Robbie, don't forget that dropping 110 volts down to, was it 5 volts or something you said? Don't forget that's AC. Just remember that's AC to DC as well, so you need to rectify it to make DC also.
Right. So, now, if I had a DC
adapter. It's not just a step down.
Yeah, so if I had a DC adapter that was like 12 or 24 volts and I wanted to step down, then that would make more sense if I was to use that.
The easiest, quickest way to do it is just to cannibalize an old switching power supply out of an old PC because you could – you may have already done it. Maybe that trick that I picked up off Cat 5, I don't know, but you plug in the switching power supply off of a PC, you get 12 volts, 5 volts. I think you get negative 5 volts and negative 12. Do you? Okay. Yep. So all the voltages you want are right there. Yep. So
what I bought, BP9, I bought a little PCB that has an ATX header on it. And
it
you plug
T-shape,
the ATX.
Wasn't it? It was a T-shape, wasn't it?
No, you're thinking of the T-cobbler for the Raspberry Pi, I think. That's for the GPIO to be able to use it on a...
You could use the older computer power supply, the ones you get with the big bank. There's a pin there, which you just switch back to ground, which turns the thing on with a fan, and you get 512, and they're bomb-proof. They are literally bloody bomb-proof. I run the radio number once, 20 amps at 12 volts, and it worked quite well.
That's the thing. You get such a high ampage. So I have this PCB that you plug the ATX into, and it gives you, it actually has banana plugs, BP9.
Mm-hmm.
So you can unscrew it, and then I just use a piece of Ethernet cable as my lead.
A piece of Ethernet.
So I've just got the Cat 5, I've unwound it, and I just use that as a lead. And so I've got 5 volts going to whatever. And then I've got 12 volts that I can step down or whatever I want to do.
Is that another Adafruit product?
That one's actually something that I pulled off of like GearBest or some Chinese manufacturer store like that.
All right.
A little $4 part.
I use AVX Bass for that computer. They work quite well.
But I didn't want to do, as BP9 suggests, cannibalizing the power supply. Oh, there you go.
Apparently my battery has 0 volts in it, but it still lights up the display.
I can see that.
I got 4 digits, by the way.
Speaking of power, I'm looking at the current cost of power in all of Norway today. There was an article that the average kilowatt per hour is about 1 cent on kilowatt hour for the last month, and currently it's 5 cents per kilowatt hour.
Oh, wow.
And it's the middle of winter here. It's been raining a lot, so all the water magazines are they're filling up.
The main tap here is very dodgy. It goes up and down our tap bridge. If I run a service system, I have to have a big you'd be bad on the thing to keep it stable with a big battery in it, because it just goes up and down any time the battery just go off. It goes off an hour or two. It's always been like that, you know, it's been from day one. So me and Mervyn got a big wooden box, a big coffin, and I found an old using computers, and I use that with a large battery that's got a very large ampere hour, and if the power goes off, the server can run for about 4 hours. Yeah, the server can run about 4 hours on that thing. It weighs a ton. It's very, very big.
I just moved a bunch of 1500 milliamp hour UPSs, so I know exactly.
That's the word. I'm trying to think. UPS is that's the word I'm trying to think.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The bit is my own made UPS.
I'm about to later today. I'm going to order another UPS because I have today 6 hours ago. The power was up for 2 seconds. Up here I have a UPS, but my server downstairs, it lost power. And then I have to manually go down to power it on. So
I have half a dozen UPSs. I don't need new UPSs. I need new UPS batteries.
Yes.
Can you even get those?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I was using car batteries.
Right now, I wonder if you'd have trouble getting them in, but because I work at a place that refurbishes them, I have access to batteries. So,
and I will I'll PM you then or email you then. I'd like to talk to you about that.
Oh, yeah, I've used large car batteries, and they seem to work as well. Or even ones work as well because they're the same thing as the ones in UPS.
It's important to remember when you're changing a UPS battery that they're not all made equal. So kind of like printer cartridges, you know how printer cartridges, you've got the normal yield and the high yield. There are some batteries that are going to last longer and provide a better.
And there is another thing, at least on the APC UPS that I have, you also have to reconfigure the actual UPS onboard system to account for the new battery because the charge it can hold is different than the old one who when time goes on, it can hold a less charge, and the battery for some reason it accounts for that. So you have to reset the UPS somehow.
Yours must be a smart UPS of some sort because I've never encountered that.
I was going to say if you replace it with the same part number, same chemistry, same voltage, it should just work, right?
No,
it accommodates the fact that a battery depletes over the years.
Yeah.
I do one out of UPS and just got a very large car battery, 200 ampere hours on it, and they work quite well. The other problem we have is that the power goes on and off every time. That's my major problem here. They arc weld everywhere. They've got parts, they all arc weld, and it drives my mains mad. The waveform is not solid. It is undescribable. The waveform is undescribable on the mains round here. It is not sine wave. It is full of bloody horrible pulses everywhere where people are welding.
But that makes sense, Peter. But the thing is that the UPSs that I have don't take a car battery, so I can't just slap in a car battery and expect it to work. I have to put in the same battery as what it came with.
Okay, I understand.
Same with mine.
I'll be boxed it as well. Yeah, you understand that as well. Yeah, yeah.
All right, guys. We do need to wrap up. It's been a half hour, so it's been nice having you here for our coffee break today. Of course, we do this every single day, so be here again tomorrow if you'd like to join us. It's been fun, guys. I've learned a lot, and I hope that those who are watching this on demand, too, enjoy our discussion. And I really appreciate you guys coming together and doing this with me, because you know what? I've been feeling I'm calling it the COVID burn. I'm just like, I'm just done. Yeah, like
I heard that.
So it's just nice to get together and talk about anything else, because it's all that we hear about right now. So I just want you guys to know that I appreciate you. Thank you for joining me today.
I enjoyed as much as you do, Robbie. So thank you. It's a bunch of fun. So
no, thanks,
it's at least a real social thing, even though we have to be so physically distant.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Take care. Have a great afternoon.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.